more wondrous study on the cherubim. I was laughing again today with the Lord, or I don't know, he's laughing with me, maybe a little bit at me, I don't know. But I said, Lord, I thought when we studied, we took this up, you know, my idea was to get through in a couple weeks. And so, I'm glad that his thoughts aren't my thoughts. That's all I can say, because it's been precious. And I pray that it continues to just grip our hearts, brothers and sisters. But, you know, God is revealing something here, and he continues to reveal it, and it gets brighter all the time. And I was speaking with a sister earlier today, and I said, you know, we do want to see him, and by the grace of God, that urgency. But, you know, my goodness, just what he continues to reveal, I can't imagine what's to come. I mean, even here, even while we're here, by his grace, I mean, we're in such a time of great grace. And he's pouring forth this message, and how expansive it is. And I just rejoice. I can't tell you. It's love letter after love letter. It is. It's like opening a new one every single day. And I just appreciate him. I can't tell you. But it's amazing to think, as we start tonight again, I want you to think about this and get our hearts around this. These prophets, great prophets that were writing these things down about the cherubim. I mean, we went through Moses, and we talked a little bit about David commenting on this. Tonight we'll see Ezekiel, whether it was Daniel, Isaiah, the ones that even constructed, the craftsmen that were used, that God called to build the cherubim, to mold it, to make it. And then the priest that would carry out all of the duties that God would have them to do. And yet, brothers and sisters, they did not have a notion to this bridal type of the cherubim. Not that they didn't want to see it, but it wasn't for them. This is that mystery. And I'd like to begin tonight, really. I'm kind of just writing down little chicken scratches here and there. But let's go over to Ephesians chapter 3. And let's just begin rejoicing before we rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. It is awesome. But Ephesians chapter 3. And let's go over to the fourth verse there. Actually, let's go to the third verse. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Isn't that something? He brought that dear brother, and boy, do I want to embrace that brother someday and give him that holy kiss and say, praise be to God, what he worked in you. What he worked in you. Thank you, and praise be to God that you told me, Brother Paul, that it wasn't just for you only. It wasn't just for you. As amazing as I read about you and the things that God told me that happened in your life, the transformation, how you were there. And you gloried in that man. And you said, oh, that's the man I hope to be. I can see it. That's the vision, by the grace of God, that the Holy Spirit wrote through you. And you embrace that. Thou good and faithful servant. And by the grace of God, he's caused my eyes to see. Isn't that marvelous? Whereby when ye read, boy, the Lord's going to have to constrain me tonight. Woo. Ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. God's given us that. He's opened this up to us. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. My favorite word, sunkleronimus. That's the Greek, joint heirs as man and wife with Jesus Christ. And of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ. And how simply? By the gospel. Isn't that awesome? We've got it. Nothing more. There couldn't be. It's unsearchable. But by the Spirit, he's having us search those things out. Oh my goodness. I don't want to take too much time, but I have you jot down 1 Peter 1:12, Hebrews 11:39 and 40. And for those who know that just in their heart, without us, they cannot be made perfect. The angels wanted to look into those things. My goodness. How can we contain ourselves, really? And He's given us this vision because He first loved us. Because He first loved us. And see it, brothers and sisters, as I came here tonight, I drive in that car. How would a man who loves my wife not freely give her everything? Could you not comprehend that? Sure you can. I just love her. It's yours. Esther brought that out. Praise God. The king saw her. He just loved her. It's yours. He first loved us. He just loves us. I don't know how else to express it. But God has given us all of this type of glory. And it's there. And how much more so when we have a body like unto His own glorious body to enjoy Him. My goodness. So, we first saw her in glory in Revelation in the midst of the throne, worshiping, praise God. Wasn't that wonderful? That's how we began. Quickly she began from there to enforce God's wrath, didn't she? Ruling and reigning. We see her as the queen. We see her in that matrimony. We see her in that love. But immediately God is pouring forth His purpose. His will is going to be done, isn't it? And she's right there by the grace of God all throughout the Word there, and especially Revelation 7, just pouring it out and pouring it out. Then we saw her a couple weeks back. The first items constructed in the tabernacle, that cherubim. Isn't that wonderful? God's going to establish that kingdom. Well, got to get the bride here first. Got to get her here first. We got to put her in place with my son. Then we can roll it out. And then last week, the cherubim in the temple. A divine earthly reigning scene of Jesus, His bride, on earth during the millennium. Over and over He gives us these things and He's showing us these things and how vital and important she is to Him. When you're in love, you don't want that lover to miss one thing in your life. You don't. And I'm not trying to be anything but sincere by the grace of God. And I don't think you try, but it just happens. But it was difficult to say so long to my wife just for a day. I am so grateful to God that I am with her every single day. I love her to be with me. I love to share. I've already called her 4 times. I need a hobby. But I hope you understand that's not me. That's just love. See, that's what love does. You just can't help it. And that's how God is. And that's what God has placed in His Son. And you think of that great love that He has for us. But tonight it's going to be a little mini flashback from the millennium. This is a sweet time we're going to enter in here too. And I don't know, we might be in Ezekiel a couple weeks. Maybe 3. I'm not going to count on it. And hopefully we're in heaven before then and He can really show us. But we're going to see her, the cherubim, carrying out God's wrath upon the earth during the 7-year tribulation. This is exciting stuff. And I believe Psalms, of all places, kind of prepares us for this wrath. So as we begin tonight, let's turn over to Psalm chapter 18 and verse 10. That's Psalm 18, verse 10. And we mentioned this verse earlier, just how precious this sweet picture is. And He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, He did fly upon the wings of the wind. Now, I believe this is emphasizing here this harmony that happens between this cherub and the rider. And obviously, the rider is the Lord. And the cherub, again, as God's been continuing to bring out, is such a wondrous type and shadow and very prominent, as in Ezekiel will bring out. There's no doubt. The cherub is the 4 living ones, period. And the 4 living ones will connect the dots back to Revelation 4, is the bride, over to Revelation 21. Praise be to God. It all works. It all fits. It's magnificent. You don't have to force a thing. It's just there because it's the Word of God. And we're so thankful for that. But as we see here, there's a closeness and a complete harmony. There's a connection that God has with her. She takes Him to heights. He takes her to heights. That's what the love does. He's seen with her. He rides with her. He's riding upon her. And how wonderful this is. And you see here that it says that they're riding upon the wind. And the wind, I always remember Brother Fuller. He says, you know what the wind means, son? He says, whenever you see the wind, a storm's coming. He says, you know, in the Word of God, that storm. And I remember, and I was just a little guy, and that's always stuck with me. He had big hands. It was kind of intimidating. So I remembered pretty much everything he said. But he was as gentle could be, with those that remember him. Praise the Lord. How he took him, and I believe it was at a perfect time. Praise be to God. But how wonderful that here we have this wind. And I do believe here, as we're going to read on a little bit, that you're going to catch a little glimpse. There's so many things seen in the verses. Don't get me wrong. But praise the Lord. This is speaking, this whole psalm, of David the servant being delivered from the hand of his enemies. We understand that. But within this, let's allow the Holy Spirit just to open it up and see what's going on here. Because, my goodness, now wait a second, where'd the cherub come from? Why did this happen? And why is he riding so closely with her? And why have they taken new heights? And why does he even speak about wind? What is this storm that is coming? Well, let's read into this and see if it kind of comes together. Back to verse 10. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed. Hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomforted them. I think you can get lots of different thoughts and different things that are going through your heart and mind here, brothers and sisters. But I think this wind is a very, very significant thing. And the prophets speak of this wind many, many times. Specifically in Daniel chapter 7, verse 2. I'll just have you write that down. But I would like to turn to Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. That's Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. And the thought of this wind and this cherub and these things that are going on, again, as we get into Ezekiel, and the Lord is foreshadowing the time that He, with His bride, will be rolling out the judgment will of God. And it says there in the first verse, and after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I think it's so wonderful as this cherubim's coming in back in Psalm. Notice that they're just riding upon the wind. They're not concerned with the wind. God is never concerned with it. You know what? Because He prepared the storm. He allowed the storm to come. Take this into our lives, that God prepared the trial. He's already made the way of escape. He's got the greatest tempter. Devil, go on and do it. You do it so well. And I'm going to show my perfect work. I'm going to show my perfect work in Job, aren't I? Praise God. I'm going to even allow Joseph to be set right in the middle of Egypt. And I'm going to grow him up as the greatest Christ type there's ever been. Isn't that marvelous? Man, and I thought I had to send my kids to Christian schools. I'm just teasing. God's got a plan for you. But remember, don't you try to plan. Don't you try to piece it in together. You don't know what God's going to do. And you know what? You live your life. And let this sister and this brother and so and so and so, let them live their life before the Lord. Now, this isn't a free-for-all to God. You know that. But let me tell you something. God, there's one way. But let me tell you something. He brings us there in different obstacles, in different overcomings that have to happen in our life. And I know He's had a perfect path for me to be here tonight, just as He's had a perfect path for you to be here tonight. So all we can say is, praise be to God. All right, so we get that there. All right, so in Revelation 7:1, We go back here again. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Now, this is magnificent. These four angels, or four living ones, let's not be confused or concerned, because we've already seen and mentioned how many ways the four living ones are mentioned throughout the Word of God. Whether it was the cherubims, whether they're called angels. We studied Revelation and saw how that angel would come out. Not the angel that we're thinking, but these are specifically what God has called in His people. A wife, a city, manifold glory, just as Jesus Christ. And here we see these four holding back the wicked spirits, which are the four empires of the world that are coming in at this time. And we're seeing this starting to come to pass. We're starting to see all of these things coming in on Israel, whether it is the Persia, the Grecian, or the Babylonian, or the Roman empires that are coming in today. We see this in type and matter. In fact, now in maybe Russia, in Asia, in different parts of Europe, in different parts of Africa, they're all coming in against Israel. It's so wonderful. I took the little kids down the other night in the class, and it's so precious, the maps that we have down in those rooms. And I hadn't remembered that they even put them down there. It was so wonderful. And just, and how God is so perfect, and He put it on my heart. You know, we're going to study end times. And you think, oh, don't study end times with the little guys. You'll scare them. You know, no, you can study end times with the little guys, and they're thrilled. Say, this is interesting stuff, but not just interesting stuff. That's my God. That's my Lord. And look what He did here. He put that little Israel around all those enemies. And I'm telling you, we couldn't find one friend. We were trying. And we saw Syria, and that didn't work. We saw Iraq, and that wasn't happening. Iran was, ooh, right over there. Saudi Arabia, Egypt. My goodness, all of it all around, trouble everywhere, encompassed about, and praise be to God. That's again part of that end time spoken about there in Matthew so clearly, that encompassing of what is going on. But we see here that there is a gnashing really of their teeth that they want to break forth upon Jerusalem, but she holds them back. And we know this because of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 through 9, and I'll go ahead and read that. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's out there. That sin, that wicked one, he's there. Only he who now litteth will lit until he be taken out of the way. The bride has to be removed before that full wrath is going to be set forth. We know that. We rejoice in that. But know this in this type that we're seeing this night. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming. Oh my goodness. There's a brightness of His coming. Now we could get off on another tangent going all the way back over there to Revelation 21 again. And why shouldn't we? But the Lord says, not tonight. But I want you to just smile and love about that. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders. Do you see how God protects her? Do you see how God protects you? Isn't this wonderful? It's amazing. The love that He has for her. It's even holding back the full wrath of Satan right now. Sure, you can say, well, that's God's plan. But it was God's plan in His Son's love for His bride. Until he who hinders is taken out of the way. Oh, my goodness, Lord. By grace, I hope. By grace. Not that I've apprehended, but I hope. I press for the mark. For the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's set before us. And I'm trusting in His faithfulness. I'm trusting tonight in His workmanship. That good work that He has begun. Praise God. He is going to perform it. He is going to perfect that work. And that's where we rest tonight, brothers and sisters. But you talk about a love story. I don't think I've ever. I know I haven't. Read of a stronger love, Christ Jesus and His bride. There is nothing close. But here, we see Him and her conducting even the wrath of the four evil empires. Allowing it to come down. Allowing it to come. God said, except I shorten those days. See, He's completely in control. People say, well, all hell would break loose then. A lot of it is breaking loose, but let me tell you something. God is in control. All right, now let's go over to Psalm 99:1. I hope you're having as much fun with this as I am. I just so thankful to the Lord. Okay, Psalm 99:1. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. Look at that. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. I just thrill hearing that. Another precursor of the ruling with Him that begins in those tribulation days. Jesus Christ, we know. We know that Jesus Christ right now sits at the right hand of God. But upon the beginning of His day, remember we studied that not too long ago, when He takes His bride, when He is found between the two cherubims, I love that. See, He rests in her. He rests between her breasts, between those two cherubims. Begins to take the throne. And I understand He doesn't fully take it until the millennial reign, but it's a beginning there. But the moment that He has her, the earth is going to begin to tremble. Oh, let me tell you something. It's going to tremble. It's going to shake. There's things that are going to be rocked because the Lord has His bride. I just think that's awesome. I love how He speaks to us. Okay, so now let's go over to Ezekiel chapter 1 and let's begin this exciting portion of the bridal reign with Christ Jesus. And notice how, as we begin here, and for those who might be new to this, there is not a doubt. These cherubim are the four living ones. And it's His bride. And I guess I'll jump the gun a little bit. let's turn over to chapter 10, verse 20 of Ezekiel. That's Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 20. This is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river of Chebar. And I knew that they were the cherubims. There is no doubt. I know that they're the cherubims. God has revealed that they're the cherubims. He says it again, verse 15. He says it again there in verse 17. And it just goes on in 18 as well too. But in verse 20, it's so matter of fact. I knew that they were the cherubims. As we go back to read this. No, so we're finding out that they're no longer imaginary figures, because do you know that that's actually the definition of cherubim? An imaginary figure. But they're no longer that. And faith made these real and more substantive than anything anyways. But by grace through faith, they're becoming living creatures. They're the beasts. By the grace of God, the living creatures. The ones that are alive. The Zao, the quickened. The Christ in me is the hope of glory life that's revealed in Revelation 4. So let's go ahead and read chapter 1, Ezekiel. And I think we'll try to tackle the first 12 verses tonight. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity. The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river of Chebar. And the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And every one had four faces. And every one had four wings. Wonder where we've read this before. And their feet were straight. And the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings, on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. And they four had the face of an ox on the left side. The four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were the faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward. Whither the Spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. Amazing detail. We haven't even started really getting the detail. We're going to talk about wheels and rims. I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be something if the Lord tarry. But the layers, brothers and sisters, I think that they continue to be removed here. I believe that the Word of God, as it says, in a glass darkly, I think it's becoming more, as Brother Hill used to say, sinister, clear to the light. It's coming out. And the four wings, as we begin, speaks of the earthly, speaks of the human. And praise God, this is divine. The cleansing begins to be established. Christ's throne on earth, and here she is with Him, bringing God's will to pass. How important, how perfect, how she is set with Him. So here we go. And I tell you, it's by the grace of God, I think it's going to come quickly. So kind of hold on and allow the Holy Spirit to bring it. Verse 1, we notice here, the 30th year. So we start with 30. 30 means through the blood. The fourth month is the earthly vision. The fifth day by grace. So we have the blood on earth by grace. And in order to ever see heaven open, brothers and sisters, we have to have a vision. Without a vision, the people perish. And praise God that He's given it to us. And this brother had a vision. And this verse is a full instructional. We have the blood. We have grace. And He must captivate us. He must have us captive. And how many times, brothers and sisters, does He have to tell us, the man after God's very own heart is the man that panteth after Him, that goes after Him. There's nothing else, truly, but Him. That love just, it's nothing of us. We couldn't turn that on if we tried. It's by the grace of God allowing Him to shine that love in our life and say, Lord, this is how much You love me. How unconditional it is. That there's nothing that could ever separate me from Your love. I remember as a young man that really just taking over my heart. The light went on. I said, this is real. This is God. Because God is love. And God wants to continue to pour forth and expand my life with His love. And we all know this. To be in a Bible study in this day, on a Wednesday night. I guess TV's bad now, but I'm just kidding. But here we are. Isn't that amazing? And what God has done. So it is. It's a sweet time. But look at this. Ezekiel, at this time writing this, he is a captive in Babylon. He's a captive there. Just as we. We're kind of captives in this old Babylon world right now. But are we captive of the world? Oh no. We're seated together with Him in the heavens. Our citizenship right now is in Christ. Praise be to God. This brother knew that he was with Him. And Ezekiel, the name Ezekiel means strengthened by God. And the Chebar River means great. So all these pieces coming together, brothers and sisters, we have been strengthened by God. And think how we're strengthened by God, by the very power of His might. It has to be the Holy Spirit, or we're never even going to get a glimpse of this stuff. Ask my brothers in the Old Testament. That Pentecost had to happen. The Holy Spirit had to enter in that way to guide us into all truth. To bring us into that knowledge of Him. Isn't that wonderful? So here we are. We're strengthened by God. And Christ Jesus has given us the very power of His might. Hallelujah. And then you talk about the great river. My goodness, we are in the greatest moment there's ever been. And you talk about a river. By the grace of God, we're in living waters. And it's not about a place. Don't you take that wrong. It's His Word. It's His message. And He strengthened us to receive this water, this river, this great message. Brothers and sisters, how incredible, full of grace and truth. And yes, we are receiving it upon this earth now, because this is where it has to be received if we're ever going to partake in this glory. Partake in the glory. All the children of God will be before the glory in one way, shape, or form. But He's giving us the opportunity to be in the midst of it, to be a vessel adorned, coming out of heaven, having the glory of God. Amazing stuff. And that was just verse 1. And I was thinking, Lord, if we could be back in here in 10 years, by Your grace, could you imagine what He unfolds? And we're just going quickly, you know that. I know maybe you don't think we are, but we really are. But verse 2 might even be more powerful. Jehoiakim. It means Jehovah has established. Jehovah has established. He brought about this captivity. It wasn't an accident. Things didn't go out of control. And I'm talking about your little individual lives right now too. You're still in His hand and in God's hand. How much more secure could you be? You couldn't be. Your standing is absolutely secure. It couldn't be any more secure than the day that you gave your heart to the Lord, than the day we see Him face to face, or in all of the eternities to come. Isn't that just marvelous? Now that's how I'm going to begin to grow. Lord, I am secure. My standing is sure. What we're in is, what is the state going to be? What's the state going to be? Huh? Oh my. Thank You, Jesus, that we've heard this for how many years? Thank You, Jesus, that it never grows old. And thank You, Jesus, that it just becomes more real and more alive and brighter all the time. Just like Joseph. Huh? Was that an accident? Did he turn all of his brothers against him? Was that an accident? Was it an accident that that woman wanted him and took his garment and got him thrown in jail? Was it an accident that the guy that he told the dreams to forgot for years to tell about the guy who told me the dreams? Sweet Brother Hawkins brought it out, and it was so sweet. God has perfect timing. He's got perfect testing. And let me tell you something. 40 years is 40 years. It's not 39 and a half. And it's not 0.5. I've been at 0.5 a lot of times. 39 and a half is a real stretch. But He's going to have His perfect way. He's going to have His perfect way. All right? Come on. And I believe we want it. See, that's the amazing thing, what the love of God can do. Isn't that wonderful? I'm seeing hearts out here that want this. Verse 3, the son of Buzi. Buzi means contempt. Ezekiel was born of the despised. But that's always where God's strength is found, is in the weak. Huh? You don't have a pedigree? My goodness, you got a chance. What do you think? Not many wise, not many mighty. Huh? Oh, praise God. So now with that kind of intro, you know something good's going to happen, don't you? See, you know, He's setting it up and it's perfect. And here it comes in verse 4, the whirlwind. The whirlwind. And you know, sometimes there is that small voice and all that, but it's the small voice that rents the rocks too. And I love how He comes as a whirlwind. And even if he comes in soft, it ends up a whirlwind. I don't know. That's kind of maybe my life. Got to watch that. But this is the Shekinah glory, brothers and sisters. The very presence of God glory. The Holy of Holies glory. Isn't that wonderful? The glory that radiates from the throne. Let's go over to chapter 10 and read verse 4. And we'll be back in chapter 10, Lord willing, if he tarry. But listen to this. Chapter 10, verse 4 of Ezekiel. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub. What did we just read? The glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house. And the house was filled with the cloud. And the court was so full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. Shoot, I remember reading last week that everybody had to get out. Even the priests. They had stopped ministering. The bride and the groom's together. And they need to be alone. It's alone time. Come on. Enjoy the Lord. I don't know what else to say, but it is what it is. Read Song of Solomon. If that makes you blush, I don't know what else. Forget it. But she descends from heaven having the glory of God. Verse 4. Of chapter 1. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. Psalms 75:6. You might write this down. Psalm 75:6. Promotion is not from the east or the west or the south. Promotion is from the north. Isaiah 14:13 tells us that the throne of God is in the sides of the north. Brothers and sisters, the midst of the throne is being presented here to pour out God's wrath. And it is. The throne is pouring this out because the midst of the throne is where the husband and the wife dwell. The king and the queen are seated there. It's going to come from there. Everything's going to flow out from there. The fire enfolding itself out of fire. Purification is about to happen. I think of the burning furnace. Remember there in Revelation chapter 1 verse 15? The burning furnace that is coming out of the... And remember this because in a couple verses we'll be there. The feet of brass. We got judgment going on. And the fire that comes out of those feet. Ezekiel chapter 9 and 10, when we get there, God willing, out of the midst of the cherub comes the fervent glory. And he's going to devour the world even with his glory. It's glory that's going to take care of it all. It's amazing. The exceeding riches of his grace, the glory of God in every realm. It's all in the glory, which is in one place, in the face of Jesus Christ. She looks like him. She shines like him. She's grown up into him in all things. Verse 5, here she comes. We're going to have to move along. She's in the likeness of man. And that really means mankind. Don't let this confuse us at all here. Remember, he formed man. They made man in his own image. The image of God is similar somehow. There's a connection. God rejoices in his work. It's his image. And praise be to God, this is the image of a man here. The likeness of man, mankind. Chapter 10 reveals this as well as Revelation chapter 4 verse 9. In Revelation chapter 4 verse 9, it explains who these four living ones are. They are the ones that are redeemed by the blood. I don't even need to go any further. But the word of God does go further. Redeemed by the blood by God out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. Can somebody, somewhere, tell me what that is? It's a human being that has given their heart to God, that has grown up into him in all things, that is loving his appearing, that has received the crown, that has held it fast, and has possessed it. Praise God. Amen? Amen. We know that. How come every Christian commentary on Revelation tells you that whether it's the cherubim, whether it's the four living ones, whatever it is, are just these little things. Maybe they're angels. They're images, they're forms, they're spiritual whatevers. You know, the Word of God is very exact. And there's a simplicity in this gospel. And do not let man tell you that there isn't. Yea, the deep things of God. He wants you to know these things. And it's exciting to know these things. And it's necessary that we know these things. But more importantly, that we rejoice in these things. That they're alive and real. And this is what we look for, brothers and sisters. But these are the divine, mature sons of God that are like Him. Their faces, the same lion, the same man, the same calf, the same eagle as Revelation 4. Filled with all the fullness of God. Grown up into Him in all things. From glory to glory unto His very image. All of these things come together. This is the bride, brothers and sisters. She is here in Ezekiel. And she is evidently here. Verse 7, notice her feet. Shod with the gospel of Christ. Well, where'd you get that? Well, how do I know this? Because why? Because they go where? They go straight. They're straight feet. And straight feet only occur when they're shod with the gospel. Do you know that? Hebrews 12:13 tells us that lame feet, feet that are weakened, go out of the way. They don't go straight. Because they don't have any strength. Thou hast a little strength. Pillars. There's great strength in that. But it all came by grace. It was all built because of Him. He did it all. But know what she is. And how glorious she is. The sole of her feet. Isn't that wonderful? As the calf. And yet, I've never seen a calf with sparkled as brown as brass. Huh? This is something. How wonderful. You suffer with Him, you'll reign with Him. You think about this calf. This calf is the servant. This calf is the one that will surrender, that does suffer. But yet, at the same time, this is the calf that has feet as brass, that brings forth judgment and is going to rule and to reign with Him. She is like Him in every dimension. And by the grace of God, she is going to enjoy Him in every dimension, in every way. The manifold blessings are here. And the splendor, imagine the glory in this moment. The glory when the wrath of God is poured out. Now sure, we can look at this and say, brother, what are you saying? 2/3 are going to be wiped right out? 200 million are going to be gathered together to fight? The blood is going to rise to the horse's bridle in that valley? Let me tell you something. That's going to be a glorious moment. Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to be magnified by His Father. And I don't know how He does it, but let me tell you something. It's not going to be a sad time when we come with Him. The cloud that is with Him. Golly. You talk about the fringe benefits. Woo. Ezekiel 3:16 confirms this image to us. And I'd like to just read that for a moment. So think about this. Even as God is speaking to Ezekiel. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me saying. So those 7 days were done. And then He had something else to say. The 7 days of the tribulation were done. And then He has something else to say. He got 1,000 years. And after those 1,000 years, He got something else to say. But those are the exceeding riches of His grace to say. Oh, praise God. Oh my. 7 and 8. Always soaring, but always human. Just as the Lamb is very God of very God, yet very much a man. And continuing on with the number 4. The number 4, the number 4, the number 4, the number 4. Earthly, earthly, earthly. Earthly reigning, the vision of the tribulation, the wrath. And notice here the hands under the wings. I think this is such a sweet thing here. She soars as the overcomer. But she always serves God. She's a vessel used to carry out His will. She's readied. She's readied for His purpose. This wonderful Mary does incorporate always the spirit of a Martha. She has both of them. She's a worshiper and she worships at his feet. She never leaves. She's right there. But she also is tending to things as he directs her in that. And it's so precious, as we see in Rev 7, those different things being poured out, that God uses his wonderful bride. The vessel is the bride that adds to the usefulness of her husband. Wow, that fits too. My, oh my. Praise God. Verse 9 brings us the oneness. Look at that there. The wings were joined one to another. Psalm 33:1 tells us to dwell together in unity. I don't know if you remember, we studied that. To dwell together means to settle down in marriage. I believe God has blessed me to be with a group of folks that are learning to settle down in that spiritual marriage now. Now. And why? Because the wife hath made herself ready. She's ready now. She's prepared. She's not hoping to be ready. By the grace of God, it's be ready. Be ready. He's about to appear. Perfect unity of the Spirit. She possesses all the Spirit, the spiritual love, the Philadelphia love. She loves the head as she loves the body. She loves the body as she loves the head. It's one. And that's the love, brothers and sisters, that God is bringing us into, isn't He? It's awesome. We run that race. Sure, you run, I run, we run alone. But my goodness, I am understanding Paul when he said that he would give his life. Remember, for those Hebrew brethren? He loved them. It's just the Lord. Take no credit for it. God don't allow us to do that. Because there would be a great stumbling, wouldn't it? And the neat thing is I know for a matter of fact that has nothing to do with me. Because I'm nothing like that. Nothing like that. I know. God has shown me some of my heart. He knows all of it. Probably keeps from me from some of it. Said, oh, son, that would just scare you too much. But he keeps me. Praise God. But here we go. And it's not just straight now in verse 9. What is it? It's straight and forward. When you go straight and forward, you're going to conquer. There's a purpose. There's a mark for the prize. Ephesians 6:5 tells us the singleness of heart. There's singleness of heart in those steps. This is the saint that says, I will go. Ezekiel knew he was strengthened by God when Rebekah got on that camel. She said, Eliezer, take me. You get a going. But I know you know the way. You take me. You take me. So there's no veering, there's no stumbling, there's no retreating. It's straightforward, possessing all of God's complete and perfect will. I think that's just awesome. Praise God. Verse 10. You'll notice there, all of them faces. We've seen that before. We've talked about how each one of those represent Matthew, the lion, Mark, the ox, the servant, Luke, the man, and John, the eagle, the overcomer. All those perfect types of Christ manifest completely and perfectly in her. She looks like him. So why does he say, from glory to glory into his image? Why does he encourage, grow up into me and all things, not some things, not part of these things? Why does it say, come to a full knowledge of the truth? Because he's intense with his love. He's intense for his bride. Naturally speaking, I would hope, and you've heard me say this, if you enter into marriage, you better make for certain that person loves you. My dad always told me, when in doubt, punt. I don't know where that came from, but I think in the Word of God, it's be still Don't move. Don't make a decision. Stay still. Be still. And know that I'm God. And He'll tell you when to rise up. He'll feed you. He'll feed you first. He'll feed you first. And then He'll take you on the move, won't He? Praise God. You got to have strength to go, and He does that. But this is how it is. So, we got the lion. I do want to make note of this, how perfect it is, and there's so much. But face is on the right. If you'll notice there in verse 10, the lion's face is on the right. The right speaks of the strength. It speaks of the royalty. The queen always sits on the right hand of the king. That's her place. And she will. And the ox, so appropriately, so beautifully, is on the left, the weak side. The strength made perfect in weakness, the complete submission. Verse 11, you'll notice the wings again. We rejoiced in these last week. They're always stretched upward. They're ready to fly. This is a readied vessel. This is not one that's, you know, just kind of distracted over here, or I'll get to it later, Lord. Or this is the I will go, saint. This is the chick at the edge of the nest that mama's got to watch because ready to launch. But praise God for the eagle. Mamas take them on the back and they know. But this is the one that wants to go out and soar. The wings are up and readied. And you'll see them. They don't just stick them out when they're in the nest. They go up. They're up and they're ready. They want to fly. They're not going to fly down here. They want to go up and stretch. And the boldness to step out in faith to be used by God. And by grace, we need to be using these wings now. That's the evidence of the true one that soars. Stretching, brothers and sisters, it can be so uncomfortable. My son's been in this rehab. I've been watching him. And for grins, daddy goes over in the corner to see if he can do those things. And it doesn't work. He's still made of Gumby, and I'm hard plastic now. But it's kind of funny to watch. But you've got to stretch, and stretching's uncomfortable. But it's the only way you're ever going to fly. And she is covered. I love this. The two wings cover her. The two wings are up here, but there's two wings. She's never naked. She's covered by His blood. And then her garments. It's grace upon grace. She knows whom she's believing. She's covered for Him. Just like I think of Rebecca lighting off the camel. What did she do first? She covered herself. He's my head. He's my head. Absolute humility here. To be betrothed to Him. That's her garments. That's her life. She's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It might be odd to everybody else. But she covers. And then finally, I appreciate your patience. Verse 12, I believe it just continues to build on and build on. Look at this. They went everyone straight forward, but it doesn't end there. And now they're led by the Spirit. Oh my goodness. See, they could go straight, they could go forward, but we live in a time. We live in the time that we can be led by the Eliezer to the bridegroom. Man, it's just there. And how are we led by the Spirit? Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. This is the mind. Here it is. It's the Word of God. Believe it. And by believing, what happens? It works effectually. That word effectually, many, many different things, but I love it. It flows through you. It grows in you. Hallelujah. Causes you to be something that you could never be. But it's who you are in Christ. See, that's the thing that's so... It's who you are. It's just being. And boy, I tell you, being is believing, isn't it? Praise God. And how vital. We will never go that way without the Spirit's leading in our lives. And it does require a surrendering, brothers and sisters. It just does. We sing that wondrous song, I Surrender All. I love it. I haven't sang it for a while. I guess that's a hint. Sorry. just teasing. Your wife's out of town. I'll be blunt. I'm sorry. I'm just teasing. Love my brother. He's a what a blessing. I wish all of you knew. But it's surrendering. And when you surrender, you're just completely confident. You're just confident. Lord, you know. Peter finally got there. He said, Lord, thou knowest. Lord, thou knowest. You know that I love you. You know my heart. You know my thoughts. God, give me your mind. And the Spirit reveals the Word. In closing, I have you think and rejoice in this tonight. Esther heeded the instruction of Haggai. Ruth obeyed every word from Naomi. They listened. And I encourage the young women to listen to the elder women, especially in this time. This world's pulling at you great. Young men, listen to your elders. Don't despise the wisdom of God. Don't. There's nothing new under the sun. There isn't. It's the same old dog that returns to the vomit. You can put a different hat on it, dress it up. But let me tell you something. Vomit stinks no matter what it is. It's vomit. Yeah. And that sweet sisters, those sweet sisters, they won, didn't they? They won the heart of the kinsman. They won the heart of the king. And they shared the kingdom. And I leave you with Matthew 7:14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And all I can say is thank you, Jesus, for the straightened, narrow way. Oh, what you've brought us into. Let's stand and be dismissed.